Catherine Quizzle, who is an MPH, who has an MPH in Sociomedical Sciences from Columbia University, an MSc in Health Policy, Planning and Financing from the London School of Economics and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. She's currently working for her PhD in Public Administration at American University. Her research interests include politics of health policy making in low and middle income countries, with a particular focus on stigma, how stigma affects decision making. So here's Catherine.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is also a bit of a different presentation because I'm a political scientist, so what I'm interested in is looking at the social, economic, and political factors that influence what I'm referring to here as policy aggressiveness, but it's also been referred to as government effort, or more specifically, how governments scale up resources and the factors that influence how aggressively they do so. So to look at this, I'm comparing country responses to AIDS and tuberculosis. And for another disclaimer, this is part of my dissertation project, and I am pretty early on. So this is just the quantitative portion. Feel free to offer recommendations because it's still a work in progress. I'm also completing qualitative field work that will hopefully help expand the analysis in a more detailed sort of way. I should also mention that I have no financial relationships to disclose. So my interest in this issue came from some initial observations of the policy landscape. So when you look at AIDS and tuberculosis, they're both infectious diseases that primarily affect the poorest and most marginalized members of society, which when you look at government attention neglect, that might indicate a tendency for neglecting these problems. However, they both also have very organized global policy communities with substantial funding that have been promoting issue attention, although there has been greater resources allocated for HIV and AIDS. Yet if you look at policy implementation across countries, you'll see that TB policies have been implemented in over 180 countries, with scale-up of first-line drugs reaching 100% coverage in most places, whereas ARV coverage is yet to reach 100% in most countries, so it's still a work in progress. So if you look at this, there's notable variation in policy aggressiveness both across countries and then also between issues. So in my project, I'm interested in looking at why countries respond aggressively to some health issues but not others, and we know that even if there is a strong evidence base, if there is cost-effective intervention strategies, it doesn't always mean that governments are going to implement them. So I'm interested in looking at why that is. Is it because of limited resources? Is it economic factors? Is it a matter of political will? What does political will mean? So how do you look at the ability and the willingness of governments to address problems? And by comparing two issues, I also hope to look more specifically at issue characteristics. And this is where the role of stigma comes into play. Because how diseases are transmitted, what puts people at risk, what target groups are most vulnerable, how severe a problem is, often those issue characteristics are constructed or are perceived with negative connotations, which leads to stigmatization processes that can affect government attention and willingness to provide services to people. So what I'm referring to generically as disease-related stigma is defined specifically according to three different social processes. And these definitions largely come from the public health literature, primarily work that's been done in psychology. So to begin with, social stigma here, it's associated with pre-existing social inequalities. So it could be economic inequality, ethnic inequalities. So basically it's suggesting that if a disease appears in a already stigmatized social group, it might end up with a negative label, and that would therefore reduce government's response to that problem. Secondly, symbolic stigma is associated with harsh moral judgment, blaming, and shaming. So this is often related to behaviors or the factors that put people at risk. So for example, If a disease is spread through sexual behavior and drug use, these are stigmatized actions, which often then will label people negatively who exhibit these behaviors. And if they contract a disease through these behaviors, they're often shamed and blamed for their infection. And that might therefore reduce a government's willingness to provide services to those people. And then thirdly, instrumental stigma is associated with fear. So a contagious disease might also be stigmatized because people are afraid of getting it. So the fear of contagion might lead to ostracization, so people who are sick might be ostracized and distanced from. However, it might also work to break down social barriers, because then it becomes a problem of a greater number of people and not a marginalized group if it's seen as easy to get. So I'm looking at these different types of stigma and how they interact with each other. Because although they make up three different social processes, in the social world, they often interact and either reinforce or shape each other. And by policy aggressiveness in the political science literature, it's been looked at in a variety of ways. So it tends to be one of these four factors: So the concept is defined as either looking at the time of identification of a problem to the moment when a policy is adopted, meaning that if it's a shorter period of time, that governments are responding more aggressively. Secondly, it's the level of government involved. Is it a high-level central government action, or is it delegated down to a local level or a less prominent department within the government as the responsibility for taking care of it? Thirdly, it's the level of resources committed. So are governments committing the resources necessary to actually address the problem? And then the last one is the reach of programmatic resources. So are governments actively and aggressively scaling up treatment? And so this is the one that I'm looking at in my regression models. And so theoretically, I see these types of stigmas interacting, creating different social processes that can relate to either reduced policy aggressiveness or greater policy aggressiveness. So with greater social and symbolic stigma, it's more likely then that there will be shaming and blaming, leading to greater policy conflict and reduced policy aggressiveness. And I'm also proposing that potentially with greater instrumental stigma or fear around transmission, it might actually improve by breaking down boundaries between groups and spurring government action. And so when I look at and why I chose AIDS and tuberculosis is because they're both among the top 10 causes of death in low-income countries, which means that they're both very important concerns. That's also suggesting that they should have high levels of instrumental stigma at the country level. They're both infectious diseases that affect the poorest and most marginalized groups, and often, in fact, they infect the exact same individuals as tuberculosis, the primary co-infection with HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa. So in terms of target groups, they should be the exact same people in countries. But they also differ according to symbolic stigma because of how they are spread, with HIV clearly having larger levels of harsh moral judgment associated with the disease. And in terms of what is required for treatments and for health service delivery, treatments are similar in that they required extended drug regimens. So lifetime for AIDS and typically 6 to 20 months for tuberculosis. So AIDS programs certainly have a higher burden on health systems, but they require sort of similar actions in terms of delivery of services, which makes them more comparable. And just to illustrate a little bit more clearly my theoretical relationships, I think that both of them should have similar levels of social stigma that would have a negative impact on policy aggressiveness, differ in terms of symbolic stigma, with TB having lower symbolic stigma, and that fear for both should be high, although for different reasons, and we can talk more about that later. So my primary hypotheses, and here I'll get into a little bit of how I'm measuring these, because these are very broad concepts that I'm taking and looking at a macro level. So my measure for symbolic stigma, I'm using a scale called the Women's Social Rights Scale, and this comes from a political science indices that assesses the extensiveness of laws pertaining to women's social rights in countries. So social rights include the right to enter into marriage on the basis of equity, the right to divorce, the right to be free from genital cutting and forced sterilization. So these are all issues that I'm sort of taking as a proxy for the level of reproductive and sexual freedom in a country. And the assumption here is that countries with less sexual freedom will have greater levels of symbolic stigma and therefore lower ARV scale up. And that I think that this variable should not influence TB treatment coverage. And then for my primary social stigma variable, I'm taking ethnic fractionalization, which is a measure of the number of ethnic groups, but also ethnic conflict. And the assumption here is that with a greater number of ethnic groups, it's more likely that some will be marginalized. And so if a disease appears in that group, it might lead to greater shaming and blaming or neglect. So I expect that this should have a similar effect for both tuberculosis and AIDS. And then for my measure of instrumental stigma, I'm taking disease prevalence, the size of an epidemic, which might be an indicator of how serious or how big a threat it is that would influence the amount of fear that governments would either motivate them to action. So I'm expecting that my variable disease prevalence should have a similar influence on both AIDS and tuberculosis coverage. For my data, I constructed a panel data set that includes all low-income countries with per capita GDP below $8,000 as of 1995. So it's a total of 139 countries. The main sources are from the World Bank, the WHO, the Institute for Health Metrics, and published political science indices. It's unbalanced, so missing data is a significant problem. For example, when I'm running my models, I'm also matching the samples so that all of the countries and years included in my AIDS model are the same ones included in my TB policy model to make them more comparable. And when I do that, my sample drops down to 86 countries, and then I only have data for the years 2004 or 2005. So this is one of the issues that I'm dealing with. I'm looking into alternative data sources and also potentially to mathematically impute missing data to strengthen my model. So what I'm presenting here are the 86 countries for two time periods. And my econometric model my treatment policy variables, as I mentioned, I'm looking at ARV coverage for AIDS, and what I'm referring to is just DOTS coverage, so it's first-line treatment for tuberculosis. And the first three variables outlined here are my primary variables of interest, and I'm also including controls, so looking at public health expenditure as a percentage of GDP, GDP per capita, and ODA as a percentage of GDP. Those are sort of my economic control variables. I've also included a measure of government effectiveness that looks at the strength of the bureaucracy in a given country. Polity 2 scores rate countries on the level of democracy. And then I include regional, colonial, and year dummy variables. And I should also mention that I'm running a random effects model as opposed to a pooled OLS or fixed effects model. So if anyone has any econometrics questions, I think we can wait to the end, too. I'll skip through that right now. In terms of my initial results, I'm presenting here my three variables of interest as well as the ones that ended up having statistical significance in my models. So as you can see, symbolic stigma is significant in the AIDS model and not in the tuberculosis model, which is what I anticipated. So when you move up on the women's social rights score, ARV access increases by 7.4%. Social stigma, so ethnic fractionalization, is negatively associated with both ARV and DOT scale-up, although not statistically significant in the model. Disease prevalence is positively associated with treatment scale-up, although also not statistically significant. And then, interestingly, GDP per capita is significant in the AIDS model, not TB model, and government effectiveness is important for both. So then to summarize quickly, my first hypothesis is initially supported, that symbolic stigma is associated with reduced AIDS treatment, but not tuberculosis treatment, and that while the directions of my second and third hypotheses were in the expected direction, they were not statistically significant. Which leads to my conclusions that there is tentative support for the negative influence of symbolic stigma on AIDS treatment coverage, but I also need to explore a little bit more the meaning of these variables. This was difficult with taking these macro measures of very complicated social processes, is that it's unclear whether or not it's a measure of sexual stigma or, you know, gender inequality, or if it's because those interact so much, it's difficult to tease out the exact relationship, and that's something that I'm looking at more specifically in my qualitative work. But there's also other important differences between these two diseases in terms of the cost of treatment per patient across countries and across diseases, and that if I could get better spending data and cost data, it might make for better models, and that's something that I'm still working on, because the AIDS data is much more available and is kept much more rigorously than the tuberculosis data. So there's quite a bit of variability across the diseases in terms of quality of data. So that's the status of my project right now, and if you do have any questions, concerns, or ideas, please do let me know.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much, Catherine. That's really fascinating. Yeah. All the different kinds of stigma and how that influences our decisions. Very good. Now I'd like to welcome our last and not the least presenter, Catherine Pitkin-DeRose. She's a PhD and MPH and senior policy researcher at the RAND Corporation. She focuses on understanding healthcare and community-based, developing community-based and policy solutions to address them. She focuses on understanding healthcare inequalities and developing community-based and policy solutions to address them. Currently, her research focuses on improving faith-based organizations' effectiveness to address HIV, mental health, and substance use issues. She addressing also food insecurity of people with HIV in Latin America, promoting community physical activity in local parks, and addressing the healthcare needs of immigrants and other vulnerable populations. So, please, Catherine, there you go.